Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to us, He has given the biggest wealth in this world and the hereafter. He has bestowed that to us. And that wealth is Iman, faith, belief. If you take any form of wealth, it cannot compare to this wealth that Allah Pak has bestowed to us. Iman, what is Iman? What is belief? If you look at the value of belief, if you look at its honor, if you look at its status, Iman that Allah has given to us. The whole of the Quran, wherever Allah Ta'ala has addressed, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O people of belief, faith, in a beautiful way with love and affection Allah is addressing. And this is for every single individual Allah is addressing who has faith, who has belief. Subhanallah. Obviously the Quran that I'm reading, and when Allah says amanu, then say alhamdulillah, have iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala personally is addressing that individual who's reading that verse. Because we are not in this concern, we don't think about this, we just pick up the Quran, start reading it. But it's a massive honor and status of Iman, if you think about it, that Allah Ta'ala has given a massive reward for a person to have Iman, that Allah Ta'ala in the Quran is addressing the people of faith. Every individual who has Iman, every woman who has Iman, every man who has Iman, Allah is saying to that person, O people of Iman, O person of Iman, beautiful affection and beloved statement that Allah Ta'ala, when He addresses the people of Iman, so much so that this is the words about the hearts. So if Allah Ta'ala is addressing a person and a person's connected to Allah, then he receives that same message. For example, very simple example, that if somebody loves you extremely, a human being, and he's got a big status, a big shot, yeah, big status, and in the big gathering of thousands, and he addresses you with your name personally, see how you will feel. Imagine, you'll be, oh, he's called me, he's said my name, big gathering, lots of people, you can't even imagine he's going to address you by name. And suddenly he looks towards you, that person with a grand status, and he looks at you and addresses you with your personal name. Everyone will turn and look towards you, isn't it? So at that time, imagine how you'll feel. Oh, I am known, and he has honored me, that person, he's got a big status, he's the king. The King Fahd. King Fahd looked at me and in front of everybody he called me. I think the rest of his life he will stay intoxicated with that buzz. Because in his heart was the love of dunya, respect and grandeur in the dunya. And a person who has high status and he accepted his message. In the same way when we read the Quran, different people have different feelings and emotions. Those whose iman is high and their qalb is connected to Allah, then what is their hal, their condition? That some sahaba, Hazrat Ikrama radiallahu anhu, and others, great walis of Allah, that when they read the verses of the Quran, they would cry and they would fall unconscious because on their heart they were receiving that message. Just like the person of the world, he receives the grandness of the world and he's amazed. Oh, I've been honored. So a person with iman thinks and thinks and is shocked. Allah is addressing me. Allah is speaking to me. Let's do dua that we also feel the same way. Is this some life, brothers, tell me? Is this a life? What life is it that, for example, you know when something valuable is sealed in an envelope, our life's like that, sealed away. Locked away, we don't work on it, we don't try to improve and promote ourselves. Oh, just like the same old routine, we never compare ourselves, that we can also take, oh no, it's enough now, I've done enough. Think at least for a while, a person, a man, that why don't I have passion? Why don't I have that love? When I read the Quran, when amanu, the word arrives to me, then why doesn't it give me that warm feeling in my heart? Why don't I feel compassionate at that time? We don't even think about this. We don't even imagine that I've read Quran. Oh, alhamdulillah. Even in this era, it's a great ni'mah indeed that we open the Quran and just look at it. This is Allah's big mercy. But beyond that, beyond that. For example, if we just are satisfied on that, that's a very lowly status. Don't just think that this is dunya and it's enough. No, it's a great thing. We know that the Quran is great. But you are greater. You are individual. Allah Ta'ala has given you are greater than this world and what's around us. Why are you just saying I'm content, etc.? Think, how sad is it? How sad is it? Rather than be happy, you should be sad that I haven't achieved what I should have. So anyway, Iman, faith, is a great honor for the people of Iman. Allah addresses them. Why is there Iman? Why are the people of Iman? One is recognition, recognize it. And one is knowing. And one is accepting, recognizing, knowing, and accepting. Yes? Whoever knows and recognizes and accepts, he has the Iman. All three conditions. Remember this point. Whoever says, I know, and I recognize, everyone in the world says that. Who is there who doesn't know who is Allah? Who is there who doesn't know who is Allah? Who was there, even the disbelievers at that time, at the time of Rasulullah, who was there that didn't know that the Prophet of Allah was the Prophet? They all knew. They recognized. Even the people who didn't have faith, the Yahud and the Nasara, they all knew. The signs were there. And the biggest sign was this. The biggest sign was this, that Rasulullah's blessed face, subhanAllah. Even that was so fantastic and glorious, so luminous, so much light, that those whose hearts were open and really, that they would see his blessed face and immediately they'd recognize and they'd accept and they'd know. They would know that he is the Prophet of Allah, he is the Rasul of Allah. How can it be that, for example, those who knew, who recognized, and they stayed there, they didn't go beyond that, and they all were Abu Jahl. But those who knew and recognized, and then they accepted straight away, they became Siddiq, they became Umar, they became Ali, they became Zubair, Talha, Sa'ad, they became Sahaba, noble companions, all of them, because they became the shining stars. So it's not just enough to know, it's not enough to know or to recognize. You can't just stop there. And this is the silsila that continues even today. The walis of Allah, we all know them. And we do know who they are. The wali of Allah, he has the same qualities and attributes. Remember, because he has the ta'aluk, the connection with Allah. He has the connection with Allah. Whoever has connection with Allah, Baytullah, Kalam Allah, Wali Allah. What's the common denominator? Who are they connected to? Allah. Allah. So whoever has a connection with Allah, then to know them and to recognize them is not enough. Until you don't accept that if whatever is connected to Allah, if you know the Kaaba, you recognize the Kaaba, but you don't accept and believe that you can go around it as much as you want, but there's no benefit. Kalam Allah, you know about Kalam Allah, and you recognize it. This is the Kalam Allah. Touch it, embrace it to your heart, kiss it, but if you don't believe in it and accept it, there's no faiz, no benefit. Wali Allah, friend of Allah. Yes? Yes, for example, if there's a wali Allah, it's impossible that people don't recognize him. It's impossible. People recognize and they know who he is. He's pious, he's a good man, etc. Wali Allah, look how he's, doesn't matter how much he tries to hide himself, but he's recognized and people are aware of that person. They know who that person is. It cannot be that there's a wali Allah and people do not recognize or know in their heart. Definitely they know, they recognize. What's the difference? They don't accept and believe in that person. They don't want to. And those who don't believe, they stay without fares and the fares doesn't come to them. And those who know and recognize and they accept onto that, they will never be devoid of the fares and the blessings of that wali Allah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So everybody knows. Everybody recognize. The person who is connected with Allah, then he is there. And people know who he is and they recognize who he is. But you have to accept, and the fares comes from that person, the blessing. So in the same way, Iman, faith, big wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given, big treasure of Iman. And it's greater than all treasures, and the treasure of the hereafter will be based on Iman that we have. Now, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has, to the people who have faith and belief, because there are people who have Iman, are very beloved to Allah, remember, because they believed in Allah, yes? So Allah Ta'ala has given them status. Allah has given them reward. Allah has given them a target, the people of Iman. A target. This is Allah's blessing and grace. Allah has given a target to every person of belief. And what is that? What is the target Allah has given to us? The objective. What is our objective and our mission? Every man and woman with iman, and that objective is Allah's pleasure. You've got to iman now. So the work you have to do now with this iman that I've given to you, Allah says, Allah's announcing now that you people with faith, with iman, they've given you great treasure, and your objective ongoing in this dunya, your objective of living in this world is one, only one. And what is that? To please your Lord, to please your Lord. That is our objective in this world. Remember this. Every person of iman has this objective. There's no other objective of ours in this world. We have to please our Lord. And when we depart this world, planet Earth, we should go in such a way that our Lord is happy with us. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. That we should leave the world in this way. And this will occur at that time when we... that as long as we are present in this world, then we have to work hard and toil and struggle to achieve this objective. It's lazim, essential. Shaitan, nafs will divert us, deviate us from this objective, but we have to attain this objective. There's no other work for us in this world. No other work. If we don't pay attention to this, we don't think about this, do this, we don't work hard on this, then that person is the biggest loser. He is the biggest loser. Because we have only one objective. And what is our objective of life? To please Allah. Raza'i haq. To please our Lord. Full stop. Morning, that should be our objective. When you work during the day, it should be in your mind, this objective. When you run a business, this objective should be in your mind. When you have house affairs, family affairs, this should be in your mind. Make your solid brain intention that the objective Allah has given to me, He's given me food, He's given me water, He's given me life, He's given me breath to breathe, He's given me health, He wakes me up in the morning, Allah gives me my wealth and my rizq, everything. Who is enabling everything in the world? Yes, everything is in Allah's hands. So everything that you attain and earn, Allah has given all of this to us. Allah gives us everything. It's not our efforts, it's not our determination, nothing. But there's one thing. What is that? That we definitely have the intention towards the hereafter. Focus. Because Allah doesn't give to anyone who doesn't have focus, intention. Doesn't matter if it's a minor, small, mashallah, you are big people with big hearts. But even a person like me with a small heart, Allah Ta'ala opens the path for that person. So what's the objective? Our maqsad is one. Walking, talking, traveling. Every one of us has to revise and solidify this intention. We have no other task in this world. Food, drink, water, Allah will give. Oh, if I don't get this job, what will happen? My job, it's been taken away. I won't have money. What will happen now? Will I eat from? This will happen, that will happen. Don't worry about these things. Everything will occur. You do your work and follow the objective that you have to please our Lord. After waking up in the morning, make one niyyah, one intention, that today we have to please our Lord. Allah's given me life, another day, a lease of life. This life that Allah has given me today, the dua that you ask after you wake up in the morning, Allah, I'm grateful, shukr, shukr to you. This is a dua masura. In Arabic, there's this dua. That Allah, I'm grateful to you, Allah, I'm grateful to you that today you have returned my life to me. When you wake up in the morning. And Allah, you have not made me die during sleep. So Allah, if you made me die, what could I do? But Allah, I am millions of times grateful to you that you've returned my life to me today in the morning. And the way I give my gratefulness is, Allah, you give my life back to me, that new lease of life, and you give me a great chance, another opportunity. All day long I will spend again, Allah, to please you. Subhanallah. This is the task of a Muslim. But we wake up in the morning, shaitan deviates us, waswasa, whispering, different thoughts, do this, run after this. All day long, we have different objectives, and the objective of the hereafter, that comes dim, very far away. And sometimes, if we do bump into the objective of the hereafter, we say, forget it, take a U-turn, and we put the objective of the world in the front. Never do this, my brothers. This is a big loss, and this is shaitan when he celebrates. Always put the objective of the hereafter in front of you, because there's no guarantee of life. There's no guarantee of life. We don't even know the next second what's going to occur. So that's it. One objective from waking up till nighttime sleeping. That's it. One objective. I have to please my Lord. Please Allah. For this, how do we do this? How has Allah given us a system? Yeah, I'm trying to, we're talking, having a discussion, just going step by step. Points that are coming to my mind, I'm just sharing with you. I'm just sharing what's coming to my mind. If you like them, accept them and embrace them. Otherwise, I'll just speak and I'll leave. Alhamdulillah. So I am enjoying myself at the moment with my batteries being charged. Alhamdulillah, all of this, I'm going to practice on these words with Allah's grace and mercy. I'm weak. I am weak myself. I am millions of times grateful to Allah that Allah has given me the opportunity. Allah is alerting me. I've got some life left. And then, for example, make niyyah today, intention. Even if death comes, Allah looks at niyyah and intention. And inshallah, our previous sins will be overturned. We were negligent and lazy. We didn't make our life the objective, the correct one. So, the objective, maqsad. Our objective has come to us, we realize it. We have to attain this objective. We have to meet this target. Allah has prepared this also for us. Allah has given, enabled us to do this. Because Allah says, don't be worried, don't be distressed. I'll make it easy for you. I'll give you a clue. I'll prepare for you, enable you, make it easy for you to attain this objective. Allah, what is that clue? That Allah says, you are a mu'min, you have iman, and your every good deed, every righteous deed will earn my pleasure, Allah says. Subhanallah. Now how many righteous deeds there are? Every good deed, Allah says, will earn my pleasure. Allah says, I'll become pleased with you. Every good deed, every righteous deed, and every righteous deed, every good deed, every good amal, every deed, action that you do which is good becomes an amal. Your body is not small. Remember, just do good things. Don't look towards big or small. Just has to be a good deed, definition. And that good deed will become a means to earn Allah's pleasure. And through that, Allah becomes pleased with that human being. Whether it's big or small, doesn't matter. It has to just be a good deed. So every action you do in the day, every task you do, that Allah Ta'ala is making us do, what is that? That we are earning Allah's pleasure. Yeah, unconsciously we're doing that. Because we've forgotten, why do we pray salah? Why have we come to this dhikr gathering? Oh, Hazrat Sahib called us, so we're going, oh, today there's zikr, so we must go to zikr. No, we don't even know what's the objective of coming here. Why are you praying salah? You don't know the objective. You're reciting Quran, don't know the objective. Going Umrah, Hajj, don't know. We just go tradition. We know this thawab, reward. We're getting a reward. But the main objective, there's one objective, that Allah should be pleased with us, with what we're doing. If Allah is happy, then we will get this as an amal. If Allah is happy, then we'll get the thawab. That's a secondary objective. The first objective is to please Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has told us this, explained this, He's given us amal, deeds, that through this amal or this amal, this amal, you can attain my pleasure, whose every good deed is a source of my pleasure, Allah says. It means to my pleasure. You do amal, Allah says, I'll become happy with you, subhanAllah. But here there's another point. That every amal, every action we do, it cannot reach to the standard that Allah is happy with it. Until and unless that amal, that action, we do it in that way, in that manner, in that method, that is acceptable. I'll give you an example. There are two human beings, two people, and both are eating food. Two people, both are eating food. And one individual, he's eating, and before eating, he thinks that, Ya Rab, when I eat this food, then my body, what effect will it have on my body? My body, will it accept it, this food, my body? Will I get any benefit from this food? Will I get any energy from this food? What vitamins will go in my food? And what is a loss to my body that I shouldn't consume? And with caution, before eating that food, he thinks, there are people like this who look after their health and want to be have some grapes. No. It's not according to my liking, my body. So he leaves that, for example. Oh, come. Oh, there's a nice dish we cook. You eat this. And he won't maybe eat it. And he'll eat that food that he considers that will go into my body. And what will benefit my body, which my stomach will accept, and the nourishment I'll receive, that food he will accept and eat. And he will eat that. He'll have that fruit or that food, choice selected food items. The other person, second person, he just wants to fill his stomach up. Whatever you put in front of him, boom, Coca-Cola. Somebody asked him, will you have cold or hot? He says, first we'll have hot and then we'll have cold straight away after that. And he says, he'll run after both. He won't waste anything. He'll say, you won't get cold or warm. Go back to your house. So this is also a style of people. Whatever foods they come, bring it. Just fill up the stomach. Breakfast time, fill up the stomach. Eggs and this and that, fill it up, stomach. Eat whatever comes, sweet or cold or hot or whatever. He doesn't think about it. That after this, what will happen to my body? So tell me, whose health will be better? Who will be more healthy? Obvious, isn't it? Yes, after a few days his stomach will come out and his leg will be swollen and a blood pressure, heart pain and thousands of diseases and illnesses. That person. Yeah, because he eats and everything, he doesn't know what's going on, where's that food gone, where's the fat gone, and where's this gone. The first person was cautious with eating, so his health will be better, isn't it? Who was cautious in eating and selective. You understand the example I've given? So amal is also the same thing, practicing deeds. Amal, it's not that, oh, I've prayed salah, I've kept the fast, I've gone hajj, I've prayed mazkat, I've read this many Quran and this much talawat, this much recitation of this and that. No, beware. Beware. Amal is also the same way, just like the food is connected to the body. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. Amal, what does amal, what do your deeds do? The deeds also work on you, just like the food. That human being, think about what I'm saying, the words I'm sharing with you now, think about these. That individual, before practicing a deed, who thinks, subhanallah, who thinks that this deed I'm about to perform, subhanallah, this deed, that will this take me to the door of Allah or not? Just like before eating food, he thinks that this food I consume, will it give me benefit or not? Will it give me vitality or not? Will it give me nourishment or not? Will it give me benefit or not? Health or not? Then he'll eat and that's benefit. Same way, before practicing a deed, every Muslim is lazim, essential. Essential. Look here. It is lazim, essential, that amal, that deed, before performing it, he thinks that this deed, that Allah Ta'ala, will this deed take me to Allah's pleasure or not? Yes or no? Say subhanAllah. Every salah is not similar. Every talawat is not similar, my friends. Every person who eats is not the same. There are differences, like I give the example, in the same way, every person who does ibadah is not the same. You might look weird what I'm saying, but it's very correct what I'm saying to you. Very correct. Everyone who's performing deeds is not the same. You'll say, I'm doing all the amal, I'm praying salah, I recited this much Quran, this many juz, I did this many umrah, I did this much dhikr, I've done this and I've done that, but no. This is not the case. Just like everyone who eats food, different people, they're not the same. Everyone who does amal, they're not the same. The person, those people will be equivalent whose amal, whose deed, whose action is such that it delivers him to the rada of Allah, to the pleasure of Allah. That's the precondition. That how? Just like a person before he eats, he thinks, in the same way before doing an amal, an action, he will think that in this deed that I'm about to do, is there nourishment in this? Is there energy in this? Are there vitamins in this? Is there power in this that will take me to Allah's pleasure? Are there these amal that I'm doing? My Quran, is it acceptable to that status? This deed I'm doing for the deen, is this really genuinely the case? How many people think about this? Ask me. I ask you honestly. So this is, we have just spoilt the deen. And these secrets go and unravel in the khanqas. This knowledge that we don't have, there's a big difference here. That for example, there'll be a drought, and severe drought, then consider that Qiyamah is close. The drought of these, because the doors have shut that take us to Allah. Real doors have shut. It's all fake now that's around us. All fake. The real genuine actions. Yes, sincere. Why? Because when khanqas were full and the walis of Allah were present in the world, you see how people would come out of those places. Improved. Such great people were developed and improved through the khanqas because they heard the words of the walis of Allah. And you can see in history that proves this, that these were they, human beings were they, angels, they were great individuals because the paths were open to improve them. Khanqas were present, the walis of Allah were there, developing people, where you saw these durus and heard the teachings and you saw the improvement in the people. But now that's closed. We don't see that. So when the khanqas close, when this knowledge is not available, and then consider the Qiyamah is near. Fahash and disorder and turbulence. This is our deen today. Because the amal I'm talking to you about, that those amal have been spoiled today, disfigured today. You won't know that this amal I'm doing, is it taking me towards the dunya or is it taking me towards the akhirah? This amal I'm doing. Tell me. Yes, the amal before that, if you don't have fikr, before you practice a deed, we don't think and contemplate and analyze that this amal I'm doing, does it have the strength that will take me to Allah's raza? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Fine. Okay, so the question arises now, that what is that power and energy in the deed that I'm about to perform? What is that power and energy? I'm thinking that I'm praying salah, and I've come, I've prayed here, and is it accepted? And I'm happy, you have got Jannah. SubhanAllah. We'll realize this in the hereafter, okay, Jannah or not. Because Allah has explained to us that Quran, the hadith I'm explaining to you, all of these words I'm sharing with you today are based on hadith. There's not that someone's written a book, some mystic and hidden knowledge. All hadith I'm sharing with you, it's all meaning of hadith I'm sharing with you today. All the meanings of hadith. On this, I can show you books and kitabs and explain in detail. These are all the meanings of hadith. It's not the case that I've made all these words up and these are my opinions and etc. No, totally not. Don't think there's no dalil behind what I'm saying. There's full dalil that there's no deed at all. There is no deed at all. That salah is not salah. Why? Because we don't even know. We do wuzu, come, pray and go. Oh, he's a namazi, he prays salah, he's pious, he's very upright. And behind that, for example, they pat him on the back. Oh, Allah will accept his salah, etc. But shaitan makes us go down. All the principles Allah has made to accept the action. The Quran, the hadith, the meanings of the hadith of the Prophet that he's explained to us how to pray. That don't fear, my friends. This is about thinking and analyzing and improving. Yeah, this is the signs of Qiyamah. What are the signs will be of Qiyamah? The person will hear that what deen is it that's coming today in our lives? When deen is explained in reality, at that time people will be surprised. What deen is this that he's telling us here? What is this deen? Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, he will tell us this deen. That people's mouths will drop open. Oh, we thought deen was something else. What deen is he brought here to us? They'll say, when Mahdi alayhi salam. Yes, their salah will, our salah will not succeed. It's the salah that I'm about to explain to you now that will succeed. So the objective of speaking is what? The objective is this, that mean you, at least from thousands, 10 of us can adopt this path towards success. And let's come out of this life of dreams and laziness. Oh, I used to pray a lot, I used to do dhikr a lot, and I used to do this amal and this amal. No, no. That do we have that factor in our deeds? That same, the food. Do the food can vitamin D, A, B, C, and the nourishment that will affect your body. So in my amal, is the good qualities there? The salah that you're praying, the amal you're doing, the hajj, etc. Is that nourishment and the energy present within your action that Rasulullah explained? That, for example, if you don't have that, then that deed is a waste. That deed is totally a waste. The salah is a waste. It will be thrown back in your face. Thousands of salah bring millions of tahajjud, but there will be no success. You can bring millions of recitation of Quran. I prayed, I was a qari, I was this and that. Nothing will give you success. And today, in this day and age, it's totally finished. So it's very difficult. Yes, that what we do, we pray salah, that's enough. Please don't tell me I came to the masjid, that's enough. That who are you trying to, who do you think you are favoring that you've come to the masjid, you prayed salah and you've done sajda? Who do you think you are favoring that you've done umrah? Who do you think you're favoring that you've recited the Quran? Oh, servants of Allah, this is not a favor on him, and rather we should be grateful millions of times of Allah, you give me the amal that I can attain your rada, your pleasure. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I right? Is it affecting your heart, these words? Or am I just wasting my time speaking? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Today, after today, we have to change, improve. Don't just stay like monkeys, I'm going to pray salah again. No, 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 no. Any action, animal, one good deed. From a small, there's no small deed. No deed is small. Every deed will take you to Jannah. Every good deed will take you to Jannah. Remember this, every good deed will take you to paradise. Allah is very kareem, merciful and great, gracious. What an easy deen is given to us. From morning until night we can earn paradise. And if we don't want to make it, then even the biggest salah that you pray will be thrown back in your face. All your amal will be a waste. Why? Because you are following the deen based on your definition. You're not following the deen that Allah has defined. You're praying salah, you're praying salah based on your nafs definition. You're doing what you want. The person who worships his nafs will never succeed. A person who follows his likings and desire and ego, that's why you have to go to the Wali Allah. Because the Wali Allah, the Shaykh, he won't let you follow your nafs. He will tell you to follow the right method. And you'll get pain, difficult when you stop him doing things because that person worships his nafs. Nafs has made him drown. When the current is that comes onto his nafs, he gets angry. He says, no, it's me. Why is it benefit? And he feels angry. But the Wali Allah, he transforms that student into a true human being. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So here you can't follow your ways and likings and desires when you are with the Wali Allah, the teacher. The teacher takes the student away from his nafs, ego, and he feels pain. What's going on here? Shaitan's influenced me. I felt good. Why is Hazrat Sahib saying this to me? Do this and that. While he's traveling, and from a high maqam, he's dropped down, right down, come down to the reality. Yes, and he says, oh, forget this, what's the point of coming anymore, people, what will they say to me? And he's forced, someone picks him up and brings him. I'm just telling you a situation, emotions of a human being, of the student, but no, subhanAllah. You cannot succeed without the guidance. Without having a guide, a wali Allah, without putting your hand into his hand, don't even imagine in this day and age that you can succeed. Yes, that, for example, are you not learning how to pray properly? For example, I'm a person sitting here, I'm useless. But when you go to a true wali Allah, subhanAllah, he doesn't even have to say anything lengthy to you. But you will get the genuine deen from there. Your nafs will be extracted and crushed, not from your own liking. But you have to follow the liking and the way in the manner your shaykh prescribes. And if you learn how to follow the way of your shaykh, then you will follow the way of Rasulullah. When you learn how to follow the way of Rasulullah, then you will follow the way that Allah Ta'ala likes. These are the stairs. And if you accept these stairs that your shaykh presents to you, this is called Fanaful Shaykh, then it's very hard to go up these stairs. Remember this. The next step is easy, to get to Rasulullah. But the shaykh, the teacher, when he tells you to practice, it's very hard to follow this up. But he makes it easy for you. All of the ego is crushed on that first step when you obey the shaykh. I'll tell you the truth. When somebody asked me, when I used to go to visit my shaykh, I was a minor student of my shaykh. They said that when you go to Umrah and when you go to Rasulullah's court and then you go to your shaykh after that, somebody asked me that, for example, I said, where is it hard? I said, going to my shaykh is hard. The flip side, that going to Rasulullah, Rawda Mubarak, I do dua and I say, Allah, Ya Rasulullah, I've come here and I'm going now to your ghulam, to your mahbub Allah, to your wali. Allah, please make my journey with barakah. Allah, please accept my going there to my teacher. This was my situation. So I, subhanAllah. Yes, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm explaining this point to you. Why? Because there, subhanAllah, Allah's Nabi says, hey, no, first go and please him, the wali Allah, then come to me. And in my life, I've seen these events, that's why I've told you. It's not from the books. Wallahi. I tell you that, for example, when you have a shaykh and you don't have a shaykh, you go on Umrah, big head, I'm going to do Umrah, Allah's house and Rusum. And here, for example, says, no, first go to your shaykh and ask for forgiveness and correct yourself, then come to me. The system, my friends, of spirituality. You have to go the steps in the right order. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So who knows today in this day and age that the soul has gone, oh, I prayed salah, I've done this and done that. We're just stuck in our ways. This thing is very simple indeed. That one man has taken your responsibility, subhanAllah, the teacher. And you are, for example, trying to teach yourself and follow your own. It's a scientific generation. Everything you want to run your deen on your confidence. For example, even we've gone to this point, the alim, oh, you don't need to go to the teacher. Just come here and just open Google and pull your masail in there and all the, and you can learn Arabic. One person I met, he said, that I've done a PhD, I'm a doctorate, but alongside that, I'm an alim as well. What alim? Yes, I went here, and I learned this element, that knowledge. You have to imagine online that the part of the deen is in Darulum. A child goes, works hard, takes 8 years, and he stays in that environment. And a man today goes on Google and onto different studied circles and different sites. You know, study circle, one person comes to sit down, an Arab, and people, they come from here, and this doctor and these people and professionals, they say, we've become alims. Just like we've learned Arabic, and we studied Bukhari and Tirmidhi, and the person who teaches, he's the same as well. So this today, the environment of the Darul Uloom, imagine that, and studying there and spending time there. I'm not saying that what's the reason you have to go to Darul Uloom, because Allah's Rahman mercy, it descends, there's more barakat there, more blessings. This is the principle. Yes, on the straw mats, in that environment, in that food that you eat in the Darul Uloom, there's so much nur and light, the person definitely starts to become an alim. Say subhanAllah. I don't know if you like what I'm saying, but this is the reality, the truth. So today people become alims within just days. Share Google makes us an alim just by sitting and the scientific age and era, everyone becomes a Sufi. I've done dhikr myself, I learned myself, I went onto this site, I'll open this page through Google, through YouTube, and they were doing this and I started doing dhikr and I liked his speeches, and day and night, astaghfirullah. And a weird game is being played today in the world. Look at the sheikh, sit in front of the sheikh and have the fear, the khawf, listen to him, extract the nafs, crush the desires, his tarbiyat, his teaching you. Sometimes he gives you sternness and strictness, sometimes he expels you or brings you near, and the mazah, the enjoyment, maraqba with him, dhikr with him. Until today, when I used to sit with my sheikh, that taste hasn't even gone even till today. I tell you the truth. To the truth, whenever I close my eyes, the same straw mat, the scene, and the madhat, and the candle, the lamps, the morning time, and Hazrat Sahib used to come in the morning, early fajr, 2 hours of maraqabah in the morning, subhanAllah. For example, the light will be there, the candle, the oil lamp, we'd blow it out in the cold winter mornings. What was that we used to have? You know, you'd hang the oil lamps in the doorway. Into the old people in the old generation, they'll understand what I'm saying. That are, like, for example, there's a veil and the straw mat's there, and they close the light, and then Hazrat Sahib would come and then wrap himself with a sheet, and that's it. Maraqabah, 2 hours dhikr of Allah. So this is that sohbat. And now, today on Google, he's looking at a sheikh. He said, no, this sheikh is better. Leave this sheikh. Let's go to that sheikh. And then on YouTube, you find another sheikh, then a third sheikh. And then when you see him, his speech, and the sheikh, may Allah Ta'ala forgive. He also, with different libas, and he's colored his beard, and ajeeb attire, and ajeeb appearance. And everyone has a desire. I want my pictures and videos so people see me. Astaghfirullah. What an era we're living in today. What a generation. The more a person should be hidden and concealed. But today everyone wants, every woman should see me, a man should see me. An hour I have to do makeup, foundation, sit in front of the screen and show myself, and then do dhikr and give a speech and whatever he wants to recite to people and what he wants them to hear. Is this happening or not happening? Tell me. This is deen? Is this deen? Is this Islam? Where have we gone today? Either I'm mad or everyone else is mad around me. Because this is the dangerous generation we're living in. Somebody gave a prediction that this is that era in which Mahdi alayhi salam will come. So very close to that. The signs are all there. The signs are all there. So these small broken words are very high indeed. Practice on this. Understand this, what I'm saying. So deen, faith, what were we talking about? Amal, practice. Shall I come back onto the rhythm we were discussing? What's our biggest objective? Our objective is to please Allah, our Lord. And to please Allah, what do we have? Iman. And the people of Iman, what's their target? Daily, ongoing, all the time. What's our destination? That Allah says, please me. You have to please me. This is our target, all the time. And to please Allah, what has Allah given to us? He's given us amal, deeds, actions. And the deeds, the actions, which are the actions that will give us the pleasure of Allah? That's what we're talking about. Yes, we'll come back to that now. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Only one person understood. He said subhanallah. No one else said subhanallah. MashaAllah, he's very understanding, this person who said subhanallah. He doesn't sit here for nothing. Yes, Allah gives jazba. Suddenly he says subhanallah. He understood. So brothers, amal. Action. What deeds? Oh yes, I practice. I do. Not every deed can take you to the pleasure of Allah. Not every person. Everyone eats food. But he cannot be healthy. Not everyone's healthy. Only healthy is he who thinks and consumes the food. And the deeds he thinks before doing the deed. Is there energy in this action we're about to do? Is there nourishment in this action we're about to do? What's the name of that nourishment energy? Fantastic nourishment. The factor that in that deed. Now here, please, here's the statement. Listen attentively. Everyone will suddenly sit up. Because this is honest. You're saying the right thing, Hazrat. Everything else, definitely you're speaking from Quran and Hadith. What is that? What is that? That deed that will make, that factor, that nourishment, energy that will make a deed, a correct deed from that namaz, that tilawat, that umrah. Every action you do, every action that contains this factor will take you to the pleasure of Allah. And that Allah Ta'ala will accept. What is that factor? Ikhlas. Ikhlas. Which is called, it is the ruh, the essence, the spirit of your actions. The ruh of salah is in ikhlas. The ruh of umrah is in ikhlas. The ruh of speech is in ikhlas. The ruh of knowledge is in ikhlas. Every good deed that is present out there becomes alive. Because the ruh, the spirit, makes the deed alive. And how will a deed become alive? Through ikhlas. Through ikhlas. That action that doesn't have ikhlas, it is dead. And if it's dead, this can be beautiful and decorated and be rich and can be this and that. But you'll say dead is dead. There's no benefit. It's the same way the amal, doesn't matter how many times you do it, doesn't matter how big the action is, doesn't matter how much all of us know it, but close to Allah when it arrives, what will the action be? It will be dead, it will be a dead body there. Wasteless. Yes? خَيْرٌ يَرَى شَرٌ يَرَى. Allah says whether it's a big deed or a small deed, major or minor, No differentiation. Whichever action you perform, if there's ikhlas in that action, Allah Ta'ala says that I have not told you to do actions for counting. Rather, put a scale in the hereafter, subhanAllah. It's not a counting machine in the hereafter. What's Allah Ta'ala put? The weight, the scale. It's not about counting that 10 Qurans, I've read 15 Qurans, I've done this many Umrahs, I've done this many Hajj, this many speeches, I've become this and that, this many Bukhari, I've recited Hadith. No, Allah says it's not counting machine. Allah's Nabi said a beautiful event. Shall I share that with you? There will be the plane of resurrection. Rasulullah is telling his noble Sahaba. And a person, a fakir, a poor soul from this generation will be called. It's his turn in the line, he's coming, call him. 99.9, for example, how many? 99. Yes, registers will be given to him. And the distance will be like the distance between the heavens and the earth. And all the registers, the books will be full of his sins. Imagine the size of those books from the heavens to the earth. 99 books like that. Registers. Sahih Hadith, I'm telling you. And he stood there, underneath there, in his books of sins. Allah will say that his hisab. And Allah, they will say, yes, Allah is his reckoning now. His reckoning now. Allah will say, have you got any good deed? And he will laugh and say, Allah, you are Khabir, Basir, all knowing, all seeing, Allah, take my reckoning, Allah, I've come. There was no one more wasteful than me in the dunya, Allah. Just push me towards Jahannam, I've come prepared, Allah. I know, I'm a waster. How am I going to succeed? Look at my hal at this moment, I can see that already in advance I was prepared, Allah. They say, I know I'm going to go into Jahannam, hell. And Allah say, no, today is the day of justice, subhanallah. Say, subhanallah. Oh, Allah's insaf and justice, what it will be. What are we? We are nothing. Nothing. But look at Allah's glory, how He takes hisab, reckoning, accounts. Aha, subhanAllah. Allah will say, today is the day of justice. You are stood in front of your Lord, O foolish man. Allah will say, there will not be injustice here. Khair Allah announce. Allah says, oh, hey, angels, go look for His good deed. Is there any good deed that this man has? And they'll say, Allah Ta'ala, and that Allah, subhanAllah, what will these people do? Will they bring these? The man will say, Allah, these angels, they can't find anything. I had no good deed. I can't remember anything. Otherwise, I'd remember if I did a good deed. The man will say, the angels will go run around. Allah's order. Yes, Allah, we found a good deed. Allah say, put it here. Put it on the scale. Because Allah says, I want to do justice. And he's ashamed. And he lowers his head. Allahu Akbar, that man. Every man at this time should think, if only I can be that person. This should be our maqam. Even that is difficult for us to arrive there. That even if we get one good deed, that era we are living in now, it's even difficult to get that. May Allah forgive. Allahu Akbar. So when that deed will be put on the scale, because it's weight, everything in the hereafter will be judged on weight of actions. The wazan, not on the count, not on the quantity. When that deed will be placed on the scale, suddenly will shoot down the weight of that deed. And you'll say, subhanAllah, Allah, what's happening? Allah will say, this is that good deed of yours. It was one, only one, but your one good deed had ikhlas in sincerity. You know what this is? You say, Allah, I don't know. Allah will say that one day you did dhikr of Allah, subhanallah. Amazing. And that dhikr had ikhlas, sincerity. La ilaha illallah came out of your mouth and had ikhlas. And Allah said, subhanallah. Allah said about dhikr this same fact. La yashka. Allah says you can never lose if you go to the dhikr of Allah. If you do the dhikr of Allah, this hadith, I'm telling you, I'm not making these things up. On those words, with these things I'm thinking, that's why I do dhikr, alhamdulillah, all the time. When I think about this, yes, because there are many other amal, because I know the greatest success, the deed that will give greatest success in this day and age, the greatest success will come through dhikrullah. Fact. So that's why I invite you to this. I invite you that otherwise there's no bigger sinner than me. Doesn't matter how many sins you do, but this thing, don't be lazy of this action. This is such a great treasure that Allah Ta'ala has revealed in this masjid, that we are losers if we don't understand how great a value there is of dhikr. His mouth will drop open once, Allah, and is so happy that every Thursday night we sit down morning and evening, we do dhikr of Allah, and the Shaykh himself is hosting dhikr and we recite Allah's name. Tell me, why would you not be hopeful that we will achieve our objective? SubhanAllah. Tell me. But if we don't do this, then think. If we don't do this, those who don't even tread towards the dhikr of Allah, they don't even think about doing dhikr of Allah, and they're just they're wrapped up in their takabbur and their pride. They don't want to do dhikr of Allah. The waswasa has drowned them. Their distresses has drowned them. Shaitan has created waswasa and bad thoughts, evil thoughts in the mind. Shaitan, the biggest attack he does on a human being, he creates doubts in a person's mind. That I was telling you an event where it became very lengthy. It will become lengthy. So, the biggest point, remember, what is the biggest attack of shaitan? That while you're doing dhikr, he'll create doubts in your mind. This is a big event. According to the hadith, if I shared with you, you'd be amazed at how shaitan works on a human being. That, for example, two people, they weren't coming to his control. And shaitan went to his head, and he said to his head, Iblis, the Hazrat, what's happening here? That these two men, I can't control them. He said, what's happened? He said that we can't control them. He says, I'll sort them out, Iblis. Khair, that story first started. Then it will go lengthy, the waswasa of shaitan to create that. This is his biggest attack of shaitan. He gives what you come to dhikr. Whenever you come, always seek refuge from Allah in shaitan. Allah, I seek refuge from your line shaitan. Because while you're progressing, you will grab the muscle. Many people coming to dhikr, but they disappear. They disappear. Waswasa shaitan injects into their brain, in their heart. Some insan, they then come as shaitan. Some human beings come as shaitan. A human being can also come in the form of, shaitan can come in the form of a human being and inject doubts into people. Big gatherings in this majlis on the Thursday night, they used to come. But because people injected in their shaitans themselves, they inject into their minds and hearts doubts. Think about this. The Quran is saying this. Thousands of hadith, great mashayikh, walis of Allah, their deeds, they prove this. Mustanid, there's a gathering. And you said that this gathering is a waste of time? Bidah? Innovation? No benefit? Impossible, impossible. 50, 60 years, despite all the hurdles and doubts, this majlis continues. This is the biggest delil. Biggest delil. The one masjid to the next masjid, to the next masjid, to the next masjid. The whole world keeps spreading this. Ajib, a phone call came to me. Hazrat, I feel like that I have such a technology that this moment in time, the whole world should hear your dhikr. Subhanallah. How do we achieve these things? That if this was not necessary, tell me, this majlis, if this was wrong, this action that we're doing, then here would finish. Here, there's so much opposition. Maybe there's no much opposition, more opposition to any other deed than dhikr today. And today, one, me on my own, say Subhanallah. Yes, because you're with me. Who's with me? Only one individual, everyone's against. But one person, say Subhanallah. Everyone's against, but Allah is with me. Allah is with me, Subhanallah. Yes, the truth I'm telling you, the right words I'm telling you. Yes, that nobody likes for quite a long time. In your town. But at the same point, the people know, they recognize, but they don't accept. They don't accept. Subhanallah. Tell me. So this is the point here. This is such an action, such a great dalil, full of light, that a very weak human being, a person like me who's weak, doesn't know how to speak, doesn't know how to oppose, doesn't know how to debate, doesn't know how to argue or quarrel. No one's with him. Nobody knows, he doesn't even know that nobody will support me. I've totally lucky, nobody. The people that will scarper from the doors. Nor do I have any hope in anybody. But he is continuing on that path, that no day does he let pass. Until, as long as there's energy inside me, doesn't matter how ill I am, I'll come, I'll definitely do the dhikr of Allah. This is dalil proof for you, and tell me the truth. Even then in your hearts, if there's waswas or doubts, then tell me shaitan is one. But even then, despite all of this, we should seek refuge. We should ask Allah for protection. Allah, this is a very dangerous era we're living in. This is a very dangerous era we're living in. Sins upon sins, they are raining down. Shaitan's working his hardest. Every way, every method, he's got technology that he injects us with waswasa. Yes? And a person like me, a weak person, so much waswasa could come to me that don't even ask. Okay, tell me, where's this? Where's the dalil for this? Where did you study this? Where did you get this woman from? Where did you learn this from? Thousands! But may I be sacrificed, subhanAllah. The 60, 70 years those people are practicing, they present the dalil that despite this, we are with him. We are with him. Yes? So this is the biggest dalil, tell me. Say Subhanallah. So insan, it's not our ability, rather we should praise Allah's dhikr, his remembrance. I am afraid myself that Allah don't allow any whispers of come, but my shaykh's miracle, that his tasarruf, subhanAllah, saw with the shaykh, the connection, the company, it gives the effect for decades, that no whispers can come. I see all the world's against me. Am I wrong? But suddenly the path opens in front of me. That towards the friend of Allah, my Shaykh has Ali Murtaza, there cannot be whatever he taught me, the work he gave me, can never be wrong. Can never be wrong. And this is a waswasa that's coming against me. Whispering of shaitan. So this doubt and whispering, why did this happen? Tell me, how did this happen? Why are you doing this? Why did that happen? My friends, don't go into negative thinking. Don't go towards these wrong thinking and dalils. Remember this. This is the right path, the straight path. There's a dalil. Allah automatically shows you in your heart. He makes it proven in the world. How many examples are given to you? Tell me. How me? What am I? That, for example, that how can, who would let me sit in this mosque every day? I think that maybe we will be told to debar from it. There's politics in every mosque, everywhere else. I speak openly, clearly. Honestly, how do I know that today we're here, tomorrow we will host, maybe the policy will change tomorrow, that you can't do the kareh, that maybe they'll say you won't do, I'll fight, I'll oppose. This is my habit. No, will I fight? Will I oppose? Maybe not. They know. They'll say, go, be gone. The next day I won't come then, I won't oppose. I won't quarrel. I have total awareness, understanding. I know that I cannot stay anywhere permanently. Maybe people won't accept me, but alhamdulillah, I have so much yaqeen that dhikr cannot stop. I have that yaqeen as well on the other side. On the other, that beloved action of dhikr, the people will look at me, Hazrat Sahab, where is he? There are many beloveds and lovers of dhikr that look, Hazrat Sahab, where are you? Why is there no dhikr today? Allah Ta'ala has created his beloveds who love the dhikr of Allah as well. But we cannot say with guarantee, conviction, authentic, that if we have this today, that tomorrow will also be here tomorrow. No. There's a very big fitna of today's era. Waswasa has spread. Be alert. Don't go near to waswasa. Don't let doubts come near to you. Don't let evil come to you. Because deen, always the shaitan will eject evil thoughts and whispers into you. First and foremost. So what are we talking about? Amal. Action. Which action that will take us towards Allah's rada? That action that contains ikhlas. أبي عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأطاع لله فقد استكمل إيمان صحيح حديث مشكات علماء the respected scholars are present. Allah's beloved, the beloved of Rasulullah said that the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that look, whoever has sincerely loved for the sake of Allah, sincerely had enmity for the sake of Allah, sincerely has given for the sake of Allah, ata Allah, and sincerely has prevented, prohibited for the sake of Allah, فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَ الْإِيمَانُ, then his iman has become complete. That person, this statement in the hereafter, when he's crossing from the bridge of Sirat, this will be that iman. This will be that amal. That will be that good deed, that despite 99 grades of sins, that ikhlas will take him out of that. Person who has amal with ikhlas, imagine the maqamat of Jannah that person will have, if he has ikhlas. Only ikhlas. Why don't we have ikhlas? Because we don't have fikr today in this day and age. It is lazim, essential, whenever you do an action or a deed, small to big, immediately before that, we must think, just that the, like we at the time of eating, the person who's eating this food, give me benefit or not. Straight away have to think when I'm doing an action, am I doing this action for Allah or not? Am I doing this action for the hereafter or not? Sahih hadith I will share with you. In Bayhaqi has Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated that Rasulullah said, that individual does a deed for the hereafter, but he doesn't think about the hereafter, he doesn't have niyyah for the hereafter, his niyyah has become worldly benefit. It's stated that he is written as the loser, wretched person in this world. So where have all our deeds gone then, tell me? Tabarani hadith, Bayhaqi hadith. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu has narrated, that individual who does such an action and he shows his action to people, look at me, look at my actions, he shows off his actions to people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of the whole of that generation will make him a loser, that he's showing off to people his action. Ikhlas. Sincerely, solely for Allah should be that deed. And what is khalis? That we don't want fame, you don't want to show off to people, you don't want happiness from people, and you don't want the praise of people, you don't want recognition. So much, just like a stone, you shouldn't even think that you anything. You should have one khalis niyyah, that is my Lord happy with this or not. That's why it's stated that ijaza permission is that when the shaykh gives permission, when your nafs says go and do this, or do this, or become this, or start this tomorrow, or happiness, or this many people. Brothers, don't be unhappy with your shaykh. He's saving you from destruction. Don't be upset with your shaykh. He's saving you. That this action of yours will waste all of your things if you do this. And today, people, I've done this, I've achieved this, I've made people progress. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhambin wa dhul. That do you want dunya, world, or do you want akhirah? Tell me. Tell me. So have one niyyah, one intention, always. That success Allah, take my deeds in a successful way. Allah, allow me to pray such a salah. Allah, allow me to do such tilawat. In which there's ikhlas. And in comparison to ikhlas, what do we have compared to ikhlas? Is riya. Showing off. If you don't have ikhlas sincerity, definitely there'll be riya. Pride and showing off. Now let's look inside ourselves. That if you don't have the sake for the sake of Allah in all your deeds, then you'll have showing off and pride, riya and sana. Riya and sana. What's the difference? Riya is this, that you want to yourself, I want fame, I want recognition, I want praise, I want people to think I'm a big shot, and I'm pious, and I'm righteous, and they say I'm good. If I come, they respect me, they think I'm a hafiz, they think I'm this, they think I'm a hazrat, and just me. And inside, he has that feeling of recognition. That's what riya. Yes? And about this, Rasulullah said, oh my companions, hadith is coming, I remember this, let me share this with you, oh my companions, do you know that what is Huzbul Huzn, what is Rabbul Huzn? So they said, ya Rasulullah, we don't know. He said, Salasim, that there are 7 levels of Jannah, and there are 7 levels of hell, and the lowest level of hell, the third class, the worst, the third class, Jahannami, what will be his azab? Allah's Nabi Salasim said, that would be that person from my ummah who will have had riyah. Who will have had this sin. He, without ikhlas, he will have practiced the deeds. He will have had the intention of showing off. And that was in his amal. That's why we say that every single thing Rasulullah prescribed to us, but we put veils in front of them. Many other things we start talking about to please the people. Subjects and topics. Many other things we talk about today happens. I'm telling you this. This is the sign of Qiyamah. Biggest sign. We've forgotten these small points, important points. We've forgotten, we don't know about riya or showing off or ikhlas. Where are our amal, our deeds? So Rasulullah said, if you don't have ikhlas, you have riya, showing off. Yes, and riya, pride, the person, it instills nifaq and hypocrisy into that person. That's how bad I think it is. And the result is the most dirty and lowest position of Jahannam. Rasulullah said, from my ummati, that person will be in there. In that position. Why? Because he didn't work hard. That's why Rasulullah is telling the punishment. That he'll be in my ummah and he didn't accept me. Accepting me, he recognized me, knew me, but he didn't accept me. He didn't accept what I said. If he accepted, then he would listen to my words. And this is accepting. Yes, to know and recognize the wali Allah is fine. But to accept him, you have to listen to his words. You have to obey your sheikh. You don't make a fuss. You don't reject. You're not angry. Whatever the Shaykh says, instructs, immediately you embrace whether you like it or not. Yes, amana wa sadaqna, totally correct, I accept, Hazrat. Whatever you say, it's for me, everything you're saying is right, I understand. You are right, that yes, you slapped me correctly, you threw the shoes on me correctly, you pushed me, you shoved me, that's fine. Rather, he's happy and you should get the reward for the Shaykh, that my Shaykh, he's giving me tawajjuh, attention. He's improved me. In this day and age, he has given me attention, he saved me, he has no need to save me. People don't even recognize their children who they are. They don't even tell their children to pray salah, teach them the name of Allah. They don't even teach their awlad. They just throw them out into the dunya. And today, for example, if you have a ghair person who's not even your relative and he embraces your child, imagine that great, great status of that person. This is ikhlas, sincerity. A yateem, an orphan, such a person who has nobody related to him. And if you embrace him, do his tarbiyah and teach that person, then tell me. Tell me, is this not a favor for that human being? Yes. What a great favor of Allah. Imagine the love in that person's heart for that child who is giving tarbiyah. He's improving that child, rearing him properly for that insan, for the human being that he's teaching. But it should be, he's also doing a class for the sake of Allah to please his Lord, to please Allah that he's doing all of this. Maybe Allah will be happy through this amal of my servant. Allah Ta'ala has sent so much of his creation to me. The teacher, the Shaykh says, why don't I say to him such good things so he can become good and improve, so he's happy with me and I'm happy with him. Today if they accept my words, then every amal before that, they'll think that I should think before I do this action, that is this right for my body or not? Otherwise this salah will become a waste of time. Make the niyyah correct thing. That am I doing this deed for the sake of Allah? I don't need anything from this salah, from this dhikr. I don't want anything. No khilafat, no rank, no status, nothing. I don't want to ask for any recognition. And my nafs, if it puts that desire in my heart, I'll reject it. And I'll kick it away. That I have no need for recognition or praise. Allah Ta'ala, if he announces himself that I've accepted, that's all I need. I have no need for anything else. Say Subhanallah. So ikhlas, generate ikhlas. Very simple. Very simple. When you make the intention, alhamdulillah, for the hereafter, this hadith, I've shared this with you. That person who does an amal, and he does the deed for the sake of the hereafter, and he doesn't have the niyyah for the hereafter, what is that deed? Tell me. Every deed that we do and perform immediately, we should think that, for example, I have no enmity with anybody, that at that time when you practice a good deed, a righteous deed, for example, the person does an action for himself and he's got enmity with other people, he's doing something against other people. No, always think, I'm doing this for Allah to accept. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is called ikhlas, bringing ikhlas into yourself. Sincerity. Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble companions, that such a great point, ikhlas, how it improves a person. The biggest effect of ikhlas is that we don't look at the quantity of actions, it's the fadl of Allah that we look at. So tell me, the person who makes this his basis of success, that I want to improve the quality of my deeds, first thing he'll do is generate ikhlas in himself. Ikhlas. And then from ikhlas, his quantity, he doesn't look, oh, I prayed this much, I recited this much, 18 juz. No. Rather, if I've got ikhlas, if I just recite Surah Baqarah, that's enough with ikhlas. Ikhlas is what? That I don't want to show people. So what's riya? That you yourself want people to praise you, to recognize you. I've done this much, I've done this many actions. You seek recognition and praise and you have an ego. That I said, will the person. One is sama. Sama, that's another thing. That it has its own effect. Sama is that person shows off himself. Like the other hadith I showed you. The person who goes out and shows and makes visible to people. Then the whole environment at that time, Allah Ta'ala makes that person wretched. How does he show himself? Today, for example, two people said, you know, today I was thinking, oh, I'll keep the fast today. It's very hot and warm. I thought, even without sahur, without eating, I'll keep the fast. It was hard. So he's showing off his deeds to people, speaking about them. Today, I got up, I thought, let me recite Quran. I had nothing else to do. I recited 5 juz of the Quran. He's telling people this. It's called sama. This is actually pushing your deeds onto other people. Showing. He's making his deeds zahir. And he's trying to create in those people's hearts the feeling that he's pious. So to show off your deeds, what is the need for you to show off about your deeds? Tell me, what need do I need? Have to tell you, I've done dhikr, I've done this. Especially women. They do this. They have tasbih in the hand. I've done this many tasbih today. I've done this much. Hazrat Sahib told me, do this amal. I did this amal. 5, 6 people you're telling about your actions. And today, and there's nothing. Today, I thought I prayed tahajjud. Wake up early. I prayed tahajjud. Then I recited the juz of the Quran. Today, I sat in dhikr gathering. And today, I enjoyed myself. Just what enjoyment? Oh, in dhikr, there was a bayan. I felt this and that. So you realize I've done dhikr. I want people to know I've done dhikr. I prayed salah. I've done this action. This is all sama. Trying to make people aware of your actions. Look at these diseases we have inside us today. Illnesses. We're happy. Though I'm pious and I want people to know that I'm pious. Allah's Nabi has told us there are punishments for this. Allah's Nabi said, in my ummah, people will be sent to the lowest jannah. Because why did you not hear my words? And from the khankas we can learn these things. Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, rahmatullahi, his sheikh. Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, rahmatullahi, his student, he was a peerbhai of my Hazrat Sahib, and he went to the Khanqah in Miskinpura. He went to his Sheikh Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi for sohbat, for company. And when he went there, and there were trees there in the garden and just outside the Khanqah, even today there, then he went there and he took like a fruit off the tree from the Khanqah and he put them in his pocket. And Hazrat learnt and he said, call him back. Yes, when he was a Khalifa of Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi. At that time, and Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi called him back. Imagine that generation. Great Sheikh, great students. So he called him back, and he came back, and he was an alim, scholar, the scholar of his time. And Hazrat said, Maulana Sahib, he said, yes. Hazrat Sahib said, you took the fruit of the tree? He said, tabarakun for blessings. I thought I'd take them home, the fruit. Hazrat Sahib said, what tabarak will you take from here? What blessings? This is not your tree. These are my trees. And did you take permission from me to take this fruit? He said, no, Hazrat, you are my sheikh, my teacher. I don't need ijazah from you. He said, okay, fair enough. Then everybody, take everything I've got here, tabarakun, blessing, give to everybody. Go and share it out. With such tariqah, he told him off that he started to shake. Because the tarbiyah, the sheikh is giving, that he came to improve the people. He wasn't to be upset. So he started to shriek and scream, Hazrat, he cried, Hazrat, forgive me, Hazrat, please forgive me. Until evening he cried. The student, that what a big mistake I've made. Now tell me, that sheikh who gives tarbiyah and improves his student in such a way, and his murids, subhanAllah. So his murids, for example, my sheikh, then will he not do tarbiyah from his students? Of course, this is the system of the Khanqa. Hazrat Sahib, the tarbiyah, he didn't improve me. That will he not feel? That, for example, you are my friends. Yes, and Hazrat Sahib, subhanAllah, he is my sheikh and you are my friends. So will he not feel, my Hazrat, just the way he improved me? Does he want that the same way I do with my friends? With my friends like you, that's why I keep on coming after you and I share with you such things, because I feel in my heart that alhamdulillah, you also hear the things that I heard from my sheikh, subhanAllah. But those people who sit in the Khanqa, they should know about it. We don't even know about the environment of the Khanqa. We made the Darul Ulum Khanqa today. Yes, Darul Ulum is Darul Ulum, Institute of Education, and you should do the work there that you should be doing there. Yet Khanqa is a different environment, different teaching. So sama, riya, both things similar, showing off the deeds, and ikhlas, which is opposite to showing off riya and sama. And ikhlas, if you have sincerity, if you don't have a deed, if you have a deed without sincerity, then it's dead, no weight. Doesn't matter how many deeds you do, but when you think, you make an intention, Allah, I'm doing this deed with ikhlas, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will generate the ikhlas into the action. That salah will become very weighty indeed. That sajda will become very heavy. Just one action, all you have to do is what? Make the intention in the action. And you think, and you ponder, and worry that Allah, there are two effects of this salah. One salah will take me towards Jahannam, and one salah will take me towards Jannah. And salah, only that salah will take me towards Jannah, when I pray it, that when I have ikhlas, and it's for the sake of Allah, lillayat, and there's no connection with the dunya. SubhanAllah. That nobody knows about this salah I'm praying. Nobody will realize that I've done this amal. That I've given khairat or charity or spent money here or I made a masjid in this vicinity or in this madrasa I get this much. Nobody will be even aware. I don't want anyone to know. So first make intention and make yourself, promise to yourself, then do the action with the fadl of Allah. Amal. May Allah Ta'ala put sincerity into my action. That's the intention you should have. So the noble companions about whom Rasulullah SAW said, that Rasulullah said, my Sahaba, do you know my noble companions? My Sahaba, look at their status. Allah's Nabi said, who can dare to speak negative about my Sahaba? Imagine that we are in the day and age of fitna today. The one Sahaba, he didn't say one companion, he said all of my companions. Which companions? Whoever saw me with Iman became Sahabi. No small, big, minor. Whoever saw me with Iman, his status was so high that no one after that generation come until the Day of Judgment with that status. It's been stated, Rasulullah said, the glory of my Sahaba status, that for example, an atom's weight, even if they distribute, the people after to come, Ghaus, Qutb, the whole Ummah can stand. And even if they spend equivalent to the mountain of Uhud, they cannot compete to my Sahaba. They cannot compare. Why? What was the quality? Same point. Whoever saw me, then what tarbiyah did he receive? His ikhlas went to the skies and kissed the skies. His ikhlas. So the Sahaba, when they became Sahaba, Allah said, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, because their ikhlas, Allah is announcing about their ikhlas. Ibadah. Today, are we doing less ibadah? That we probably pray, recite more Quran than they did. This is correct. Today, the amount of Quran hadith that we recite, they probably didn't even do that. But they saw Rasulullah ﷺ upon whom the Quran was revealed. And they saw the Prophet ﷺ on whom the hadith were revealed. We are reading, but they saw physically. So what was the difference? That they were stars, they were great nation until Qiyamah. Nobody who came after can compare. Rasulullah ﷺ said that, subhanAllah, can anyone compare to my Sahaba? Why? Because the Sahaba, they had the company of Rasulullah and the sohbat made them Sahaba. So now the door opens to us. Rasulullah said, my Sahaba had my company, my sohbat. The Sahaba, when they had the company of Rasulullah and whoever the company of the Sahaba had became Tabi'in, and those after that, Tabi'in, after the Tabi'in, the Walis of Allah, and whoever has the company of the Awliyaullah has the same ikhlas result, just like the Sahaba Ikram. So the conclusion is, if you want ikhlas, sincerity, if you want to develop ikhlas, then go towards the Khanqas, the Wali Allah, the Shaykh, and he will instill ikhlas into you. That path has opened up. The path has opened up. So it cannot be, it's impossible that you take the company of the Wali Allah, the Shaykh, and your niyyah is correct. What is your niyyah? That I want to improve my hereafter. Not this, that I want children, I want du'as accepted, I want this and this du'a, and I want this wealth. No. Say la. Everything la. The company, where I'm going to the company of my teacher, my sheikh, is that I want to reject the dunya and want to make my akhirah hereafter. That through the company of my sheikh, I want success in the hereafter. I want nothing else. Because this is my objective. And if I attain this objective, then everything is secondary. And it comes after the whether I ask for those things or not, whether I want them or not, automatically my worldly issues will be resolved after that. Wedding and worldly issues, etc. You have no need to speak about them. You don't need to ask for them. You don't need to talk to your sheikh about these things. All you have to do is make one niyyah, one intention, that to please Allah, Allah has given us the path. What is that path? Sohbat, company of the sheikh. Take his company. Take the company of that person who's yaqeen, kamil sheikh, complete sheikh. You should have his sohbat. And you should desire the hereafter and Allah's rada and pleasure beyond anything else. Voila. That, for example, then in the world, Allah announces, I'm happy that this is our objective, and to attain this, what is the method? To go to the company of a friend of Allah and spend time in his company. Take his sohbat with this niyyah. That even if he tells you off, he's strict with you, tells you get out, whatever he says, but this is upon you. Do you want to stay there? You should stay there. If you want to run away, run away. But everything, you should persevere through that and bear it. And Allah Ta'ala says, that's why I created you, to develop that sincerity. Yes, a man comes in front, and the women behind the veil, they can do this. Subhanallah. And today every woman who is listening to me, every woman, she can do this. She can arrive to the high status, alhamdulillah. Yes, the women folk also have high status, they can attain paradise. The same way, every woman, for her the doors and the paths open, her house becomes the khankah when she obeys the words of her sheikh and accepts them and does amal on that. Not just by knowing and recognizing his wali Allah, but you have to accept the sheikh, the teacher. Footstep by footstep you have to follow him. Do you understand my words? Is it easy to understand? MashaAllah. MashaAllah, you are people of understanding and wisdom. That's when you succeed with this desire. So the biggest thing that we're lacking today is that there's no ikhlas inside us. Why don't we have ikhlas? Because we don't have the company of the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. It's easy for us to criticize. He's a thief, he's this, why are you going to this person? He's jahil, he's ignorant, he doesn't have ilm, he doesn't have technical knowledge. These words we hear a lot. But we don't know how to say this. The person goes to him and he's improved. This person's gone to him and he starts to pray salah. And he's doing dhikr morning and evening. No, you won't hear these positive vibes from people. Impossible for people to accept these things and accept them for their reality. Say subhanAllah. No, is this happening today or not? Tell me. Why are you afraid, brothers? Yes. Why are we afraid? Always be alert. Even if the whole world leaves you, but your Rabb should not leave you side. That's the most important thing. Everything Allah Ta'ala will leave you. If you are doing an action for the sake of Allah, no power of the world can affect you, I tell you. Thousands of enemies, nobody can affect you. If you're doing the action for the sake of Allah, lilayat, if it's for the sake of Allah, you're not doing it for the sake of the dunya, for the sake of Allah. So it's proven, yeah, so be steadfast on the haq, on the right thing. On the right, okay? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So today's dars, do you understand? Do you understand my words? They say, alhamdulillah, what do we need to do? What do we need to attain? Ikhlas, sincerity. And if there's sincerity in our deeds, what we'll get? We'll get Allah's raza, pleasure. And what's the method to get ikhlas? Company of the sheikh. Company of the sheikh. And before every deed, what do we need to do? We need to make an intention. Maraqaba. Contemplate. You come to pray salah. Allah, totally this salah that I'm praying tahajjud, that I won't tell people I've prayed tahajjud, show off to them. Whatever I tell, I will tell to my sheikh. I won't even open my mouth, go outside, I pray tahajjud, I won't tell people I do a lot of dhikr. No. Imam, even if I'm wearing, I'll say, I'm not wearing this, I'm not capable, my sheikh told me, that's why I'm wearing it. SubhanAllah. Don't make a fuss, try to show off, look away, imam, I'm this, then think you are gone. You're a waster. You recite Quran. No, I'm reciting Quran because my sheikh said read the Quran. I can't read Quran, I'm not capable. SubhanAllah. This dhikr I'm doing, because I'm reciting Allah's name, because my sheikh instructed me, gave me hukam, I'm doing this, otherwise I can't do it, I'm not capable. Every action, everything, assign yourself to your sheikh. Hand yourself over to your sheikh. Remember this. You have to become fana. Yes, ikhlas is a very big factor. All of Jannah is hidden. It is filled with ikhlas, Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability that we, has Ali radiallahu anhu's event, I remember. Look. Allah's Sahabi, the Sahabi of Rasulullah, and what great events in the life of the Tarbiyah. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh, once he had a fight with somebody, he had a fight, or there was a quarrel with a disbeliever, and that disbeliever, he was a big man, powerful, strong. And when this was happening, lots of people stood by to see what's happening here. There's a fight, physical. Let's see how Islam is beaten. Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu was representing Islam, and he was a disbeliever. And he was strong, powerful, and famous. And the fight started. And he was the lion of Allah, Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh. Imagine his power and status. And there was a quarrel. And then the situation turned. Then Hazrat Ali put him down, took his sword out, Hazrat Ali. And he put about to put on his neck, and he was about to finish him. And then what did he do? He spat on the face of Hazrat Ali. When he spat at Rasulullah, and he removed his sword, that yes, let's finish this duel. Then he stopped and he put his sword back in its sheath, and he stepped back, and that person stood up. Everyone's looking at this. And he got up. And he stood, and he thought, maybe it's a trick here, he's going to hit me now. Because he said, have you finished fighting? He said, yes, we finished. He said, why? What is happening here? He said, that I was underneath you, I was under your control. What's this drama? Why have you left me now? Why have you spared me? And he was surprised, he was shocked. He's asking Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that the point is this, that whatever we do, it's for the sake of Allah's pleasure. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah loudly. Subhanallah. This is tarbiyat, and this is what Islam teaches us. Because in our Islam, our Allah, our Rasul has taught us, whatever you do, who should you do it for? Allah's sake. Yes, when you pray, you do for Allah. When you do dhikr, it's for Allah. When you recite Quran, for Allah. Everything is for Allah. Whatever action you do, doesn't matter how hard it's for you. Our Nabi taught us that whatever action you do, it should be for the sake of Allah. That amal will be accepted. Subhanallah, may I be sacrificed for the door of knowledge. That amal is accepted. If you have that niyyah inside it, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. For whom am I doing it? For the sake of Allah I'm doing it. So whoever has this niyyah and this ikhlas, then Allah Ta'ala accepts that deed of that person. That this happened with me, as Ali said, that it was not fighting you. It was Islam versus disbelief. That was the quarrel. While I was physically fighting with you, it wasn't for my sake, my body's sake. Rather, it was for elevating Islam, for the sake of Allah's name, to elevate Allah's name. I started the fight with you for this reason. But when that time came where you spat on me, and as Ali radhiyallahu anhu said, that it's a minor point. At that time, I was angry. I was surrounded with my anger, and I had a double intention that time. I could take revenge, but that's what saved you. Allahu Akbar. He said, this is what saved me. He said, this was what saved me, saved you. That I was angry and that anger would overwhelm me. And that's what saved you. Why? Because immediately in my heart came the point of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we didn't just know him and recognize him. We accepted what he said. I accepted his words. He said, beware that never for your own self take revenge out on somebody. Doesn't matter who it is, enemy or friend. When it comes to your personal issue, then say, go, I have forgiven you. Go, I have forgiven you. So I am fighting for Islam. When you spat on me and I was angry, and immediately I thought that this has become a personal issue. And if I take revenge on you, then it's a personal thing. And this is not an amal for Allah's sake, then is it? This is for the dunya. Then what's the benefit of for me? So immediately I released you, let you off, and I stood up. So he saw this 2 minutes, he said, can I come close? He said, now please teach me shahada, and he recited the kalima. Subhanallah. Why? Because he said that if this is your ikhlas and sincerity, such a great, great quality, that when you step back and you thought about this, that I won't take this revenge on you, and there was a nur, a light in your ikhlas, that in my heart, the light of Islam is started to become alive. And this is a very big point. He said, in my heart, the light of Islam, it grew. He said, this deen religion is, this is the religion of right. That such a minor point it teaches to a person on this basis, how can it be wrong? If it teaches this right. And he said, my heart became alive, ikhlas came inside me. And I recited the kalima. So subhanallah, the gathering behind the 1,000, he said, don't you recite on your own. We also want to recite the kalima, subhanallah. 1,000 men became Muslim at that time due to that example. Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Data Ganj Baksh Ajweri, Hazrat Baqi Billah. Have you heard these names of these people? SubhanAllah, these are those people who traveled with ikhlas to spread the deen. They didn't give big speeches. They didn't have massive gatherings. SubhanAllah. Just one word statement and the whole gathering would become Muslim. Abdul Qadir Jalani, rahmatullah, when he'd speak, then 1,000, 10,000 people would become Muslim at that time. What was the reason? The reason was this, that their speech, when they spoke, there was ikhlas in their speaking. Sincerity. The Wali Allah, when he speaks, then direct towards the heart of the humans he speaks. Thousands of speeches put to the side, his one speech is such that thousands of people become Muslims. Reason? Because he has ikhlas, sincerity. And what he does, so always listen to that person who has ikhlas, sincerity in his speech. Ikhlas, the person who speaks with ikhlas, his speech, words will never go to waste. The person who speaks with sincerity, he is the wali Allah. And he has so much effect and weight in his words that they go and pierce the hearts of the people. SubhanAllah. But that person, for example, there are two groups of people where shaitan is present, that the words will reach to the heart. But then shaitan, he splits those people into two. In your heart you accept, so you know, you recognize and you know, but your heart doesn't accept what he's saying. So when the words pierce the heart, the shaitan splits them into two groups. But those people who sit with their hearts open, who are seeking, then they immediately accept those words as well. This is the difference between normal people and the Wali Allah speaking. It might be a small short statement of the Wali Allah. One hadith he will tell you and explain it and it will come into your heart. It will penetrate your heart. From Hazrat Sahib, I didn't hear big long speeches from my Shaykh. Just 10 minutes he spoke to me. 10 minutes initially. 10 minutes. My life changed. My life changed. Until today in my life, how many years have passed? All my life I've spent, I've never seen big daras or speech. No, after Thursday night, mine, just like we speak, and that we talk very long due to this generation, it's become a habit, isn't it? Lengthy to explain to the public, because every person, he doesn't understand, he comes with different intentions. So from different angles, you have to speak to people. Those who understand, they benefit. And those who don't understand, they benefit as well. You have to speak longer today. So you have to work in that way, speak in that way, and you get more thawab as well. Yes, as the generation changes and people change, then you have to work hard and make more effort, say SubhanAllah. So Hazrat Sahib's era, which was 60, 70 years ago, was very easy time, normal time. And students like us, who thousands of miles away would go to Hazrat Sahib just to correct themselves. So there, just 10 minutes was enough of speech of Hazrat Sahib. Hazrat Sahib didn't speak longer than 15, 20 minutes. But the gathering was crying, people are shaking, shrieking, screaming. Allahu, you'd hear in that gathering from the Khanqah of Hazrat Sahib. In that 15, 20 minutes, ajeeb emotions, Allahu, Allahu. Someone's crying, screaming, trembling, shaking. That's how people would be affected by Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh's speech. It wasn't even long. So my brothers, what's the reason? What was it that Hazrat Sahib had? Say it loudly, ikhlas. Nothing else. Did he pray? He prayed. Same salahs that we pray. Same Quran he recited that we recite. Yes, nothing new. But what he had, the difference between him and us was lillayat, for the sake of Allah. And for us, we do everything for dunya. Dunya, just like donkeys, nothing affects us positively. And then we have the life. We still have life ahead of us. Alhamdulillah. We have life ahead of us. We have time. Big things. We good things we hear. The words have arrived to us. Let's promise to Allah that Allah Ta'ala, we will do all of these things. We won't waste time. We are not. The time is not to waste, my friends. Tomorrow there's regret, remorse. I swear by Allah, very quickly that time will come. That all, everything will be wrapped up and will be thrown into the box. Anytime, the coffin will come. So bring your ikhlas into your deeds. Don't just pray salah, kept fast. No. Analyze this action I just did. Did I do it with sincerity? Make niyyah first, make intention, then analyze, ponder, I'm going to do this action just for Allah, not for money, not for fame, not for recognition. This Quran that I'm reciting, I'm doing this action for other people. There are thousands of reasons people do. I swear by Allah, all of my deeds are going to waste. That who has put this whisper into our ears and our hearts that this is good, do this. Two things in this world. How will we get the result? The Quran is telling us. Big hadith I've discussed with you, zero beyond zero our deeds at the moment. So let, if you've done an action with ikhlas, even if it's a minor action, great action. So Don't be worried about hunger and thirst and poverty. It's just for a little while. If you're afraid, say, it doesn't matter if I die out of hunger and thirst, but I won't do any action in which there's no ikhlas. I won't make Allah unhappy. Just a few days you'll do mujahada. Then you'll come back towards the goodness. The good days will come after hardship. The ease definitely comes. We become afraid in the beginning, before we give the sacrifices. Don't be afraid. Don't shake. Do dhikr. Hold on to it with firmness. If you get the wali of Allah, take his action. Don't look for Junaid. Don't look for Bayezid Bastami. That time, not today. Even if you get somebody normal, simple, broken down. Yes, who's that broken down? Even if he's got the nisbat with the Kamil Sheikh, then take hold of his company. The Allah, he's left. If we leave him, then we have gone. We've gone to waste. Just look at one thing, that through the company of this sheikh, can I see his shajra? Is it strong? Has he got association with the mashayikh before that? Yes, he's got sanad. Then stick to that person and inshallah you'll be successful. That has he, this sheikh, has he had sobat company with the true sheikh before him and the chain going back? That's it. Sit with him. Don't look for kashf, karamat, miracles, vision. Close your eyes and blindly follow that sheikh, that teacher. Don't waste your time, my friends. Have courage, determination. I will also have courage and determination. We'll work hard, let's not waste time. And let's go and stick ourselves to Wali Allah. Without this, ikhlas won't come into you. Remember this. You will not be able to leave showing off. You won't leave pride. You won't leave sama. You won't leave waswasa. And evil thoughts makes true niyyah intention. I want akhirah. I want hereafter. I want to repent from the bad ways of the world. I want to please Allah. And then follow that journey in that path. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
وسلم تسليما دائما ابدا قصيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطونا وامدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأولاد يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم سمتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله يهديه منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ارحم ديك يا أرحم الراحمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله أصحابه أزواجه ذرياته أهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.